just woke up.
You just made me do it.
You big meanie.
Uh-huh. You all set, Cecile?
Yes. All right, we're recording. Here we
are. Yeah. Welcome to the February 17th, 2021 meeting of the Lyme Employment Board. This meeting will come to order. This is a public proceeding, and unless the board specifically votes for an executive session, you have the right to hear everything that's being said and look at all exhibits that are offered. If the board votes for an executive session, the reason for saying shall be stated. Please notify the chairman if you're having difficulty seeing or hearing. This meeting is being recorded and televised live on YouTube. In each instance, the burden is upon the applicant to demonstrate compliance with the provisions of the applicable ordinance or ordinances. After the board votes on the merits of each project, it will prepare a written opinion, which will be forwarded within 7 days. The board works from a prepared agenda and will be considering tonight's items in the following order. Any outstanding planning board business, discuss possible zoning changes, discuss vote on whether to hold Zoom meetings, schedule a public hearing for zoning changes, email from fire department, inquiry regarding a conditional use permit from 2008, review and approve minutes, new business, and open issues. All right, the zoning changes.
So that's, I can't find an illustration of a dock versus multiple docks, which is where we would have left with the shoreline zoning change. I don't know if you guys want to put that off till next year or just nix it, because we don't. It's not really a zoning change, it's a clarification. So the zoning ordinance still is what it is. This isn't, our change just makes it clearer, I think, but I don't know if we're ready to move forward with a public hearing and make it in time for this time.
Well, I think the sketch would help a lot, drawing.
Yeah, probably.
I did look online, but they want you to buy pictures.
Yeah.
And I guess we could do that, but I didn't spend a ton of time looking for pictures of dogs.
Did you talk to MMA, I thought, didn't you?
I talked to DEP.
Oh, DEP?
Yep.
They didn't have anything?
There's an email.
Oh, there was some, yeah.
Yeah, that I think I gave.
Oh, there it is. It's from Jeffrey...
Kalinich.
Yeah.
He's the one that suggested illustration, maybe, or just saying a linear dock without fingers or T's or L's. You could add that. Mm. Yeah. Or we could just leave it with a single dock and people just... without an illustration, because that is what it says today.
Illustration is nice, though. There's no doubt.
Right.
But you wanted to add that definition, didn't you, anyway? You know.
I wanted to add a clearer definition of a dock that I found in state law.
Right.
I didn't make it up.
No, I'm not thinking of it.
That's just for everybody to know. But
a platform used for access to a water body. So it doesn't say, the definition that you have here says single platform, but the main one doesn't say, it just says a platform.
No, so that's just a definition, though. It doesn't,
right.
That's not the regulation where it says a single dock is allowed. Elsewhere in the ordinance, it says one dock is allowed per property, unless you have double the shore frontage,
right.
Then you can have another dock.
And that would be more than 200, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Have you checked at a lumber yard? When I was at Hancock Lumber, I could bring up all sorts of programs and sketches. Great Northern Docks, a couple other companies. I just thought of that. You know, go in and say, hey, can you guys provide me with illustrations of different types of docks?
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a great idea.
When's our time frame for putting in any changes for this year? Is there, it's coming up, I guess.
So the referendum questions have to be written by April 9th, I think.
Oh, okay.
We got another month.
Yeah.
plus.
It's only a couple weeks.
So maybe we can get some sort of illustrations from Hancock. Still might be able to get it in.
I mean, I think the language that you suggested is good. I mean, it seems like it's a little bit of a clarification. So maybe that plus a diagram would be enough to add it. You know, if it helps. I mean, if it's not going to clarify, then it's not worth doing. But if it's going to help clarify, then it's probably worth doing. Well, we got to have that all done before we have a public hearing, obviously.
Right. And so I would think it would have to be done by next meeting so we can have a public hearing and then get it to the selectmen. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's worth a try.
So you're going to get the pictures, Kelly, if you can?
I can. I'm going to get in touch with my old contacts or just walk in the store.
I guess we'll discuss whether the whole Zoom meetings are on.
Has there been a request to hold Zoom meetings? Does anybody know? Or I don't know.
Not that I know of.
I think it has become an evolution because the public is restricted from attending. So well, you've had to accommodate right access to the meeting.
I really only think we need a Zoom meeting when we have a public hearing. Other than that, they can see everything we do on YouTube.
I agree with that.
They can see it on YouTube?
You're live on YouTube.
Right? Okay, so you're saying it would be live on YouTube every time, but Zoom would only be used for public hearings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only way for people to participate, if any participation is wanted, is through a Zoom platform.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think the YouTube recording would be adequate.
I mean, the only time we get public input is when we have a public hearing.
Right.
Have it set up so that they gotta, if they want to comment, whatever, like you said, sign up, and then raise a hand so that we know who, what, where.
Mm-hmm. I just require identification plus us reviewing here. Address.
Do you want to vote on that?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that the planning board authorize the use of YouTube for recording and recordings of meetings and use Zoom for public hearings subject to availability of either paid employees or volunteers as approved by the select board. How's that?
Can you repeat that? No.
Sure I can. No, because we can't control payment of any employees. But I feel it ought to be a paid employee if possible. The volunteer is fine, but.
But is that under our control? I mean, it would be, I would assume if it's the paying for this would be the same whether it's selectmen or planning board. It'd be any board meetings that would be recorded. Or
well,
would
we
be,
don't have any, we don't have any budget.
We don't hold the pocketbook. Yeah.
No, the selectmen we'd have to get approval from them to pay for it. So I think they could decide whether it's volunteer or paid, right?
Yeah, I don't
know. It would be their decision, not ours.
As long as it's some kind of a consistent policy, but I'm just saying that they would have to approve anybody who's paid, obviously, I think. So, was that clear enough, that
yep.
motion?
Yep,
that's fine.
Is there any more discussion on it?
Was there a second?
Joe? All in favor of Don's motion?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay.
Now we have transparency.
I'll have to comb my hair.
Okay, we won't need to schedule a public hearing right now for the zoning changes.
Right.
So we get an email from the fire department.
Yeah, that was Yes. That was a good response, I thought, Patty.
Thank you. Do we want to summarize what it says for people?
Why not?
So basically, I think he's asking for the towns to adopt some version of the International Code Council's International Wildlife and Urban Interface Code. Spells out fire restrictive building materials, water access, road and driveway size to allow fire apparatus and resident evacuation. And next he's asking the town to consider implementing an impact fee ordinance on new construction. And then he updates us on the status of the fire department currently being well-staffed in a prepared organization.
Yeah, he's asking that. I guess he's asking also, he's mentioning that some of the younger members of the fire department are renters, and or they're living at home, and he's mentioning the fact that probably both towns don't have much rental housing available. Not because any, I don't know that we have restricted it, it's just that it doesn't exist right now, and
well, we do kind of restrict it in a couple of ways.
Oh, and the zoning?
Zoning ordinance only allows no more than a 6-unit building.
Yeah.
Also, for each 6 units, you have to have either 3 or 5 acres, so that's a large amount of land.
Right.
Although contract zoning would allow people to minimize that if they go that route, but the comprehensive plan did talk about making changes to allow for rental housing to keep our younger people here.
Right.
So it goes along with what we talked about with the comprehensive plan.
And we haven't really addressed that, have we? Or
no.
We haven't started to look at that.
And this, so we talked about picking things off the comprehensive plan to work on, which we haven't gotten to yet because we keep getting projects. But
yeah.
This could lead us to be one of our first things because someone else besides us is bringing it up.
Yeah, I think the impact fee thing, that would be pretty hard to, I don't say hard, but that's something that I think the larger cities do, right?
Some towns around us do it, but I think in your packet I gave you a publication from MMA about impact fees. So
yes.
It just isn't a matter of adopting an ordinance. There are things that go along with it that we have to do for it to be legally and unchallengeable. If we don't do those things, it could get challenged and it would be found.
Yeah, you got to actually spend the money.
Right, you can't
just
do it for capital improvement specific things.
Right. Well, I'm sure that wouldn't be hard to find things to spend it on, that's for sure.
Well,
the infrastructure mostly.
Plan, right. We got to have a plan.
Right.
We have to limit the time that we're going to hold the money, and then if we don't spend it on what we've dedicated it to, we have to give it back.
Yeah. Well, I think first the recommendation to at least look at the International Code Council's International Wildlife Urban Interface Code. I think we should take some time to look at that first. See exactly what type of requirements it recommends compared to what we have. And as for impact fee, I think it'd be worthwhile for us to go over what Patty's given us from KQ4 from MMA, and also consider the other requirements. requirements that there has to be, as you said, a timeframe, a capital improvement plan, which money will be dedicated. Under what circumstances might there be a waiver? So.
We should also look at other towns in the area, see if they have similar rules about impact fees and what they're charging, what the percentage is.
Well, I think we should get a directive from, I don't know, we should look at what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the selectmen might have talked about it last night. I don't know if we're gonna get a directive to look at it also.
Well, maybe after, if we discuss it and decide which, where we think it might be reasonable to go, then I think we could send a memo to the select board saying, hey, do you want us to do this or not? Because it'll take some time, and if they say, no, we have no interest whatsoever in impact fees, then it would probably not be worth spending time on. I mean, I would think.
Well, and they'd have to develop a capital improvement plan, which is really the first step, which we don't have a written plan. So, I mean, the first step is on either a capital improvement committee, I don't know, or that has to come from the municipal officials. The capital improvement plan, I would think.
I really think the first thing we gotta do is what Joe said, see what's really in this International Code Council.
Mm-hmm. I took a brief look at it, but I didn't spend enough time that I could really quote what's in there.
Okay.
But
all right.
And one thing we could move on to is looking at what the comprehensive plan has suggested in terms of housing in the town and see what, if anything, we need to adjust for that. You did say in the responses to Mr. Harris that maybe a number of subdivisions coming in, as from what you understand.
There's been a lot of questions about subdivisions on larger parcels of land, so I think we're going to be busy this coming summer.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't need to get off track of cutting. One thing you mentioned in response to Mr. Harris was, as we discussed not too long ago, substandard camp roads. I was wondering, are there any federal DOT programs that might, provide some dough to address that?
I can look into that.
I looked at the USDA and didn't find anything, but there are a couple of things on the from the DOT site that look as, possibilities. Maybe contacting Shelley Pingree's office to see who takes care of transportation issues there. And see if there's something in the behind as to what we might be able to apply for.
When the Army Corps of Engineers was out here recently, they and DEP said that there are some grant monies available for like stream crossing. So if any of these camp roads have that, which I think a couple of them do have crossings, maybe.
Yeah, the culverts.
Yeah, I can look into that, see if there's any availability.
So we're good on that one. We have an inquiry regarding the conditional use permit from 2008.
So I gave you a copy of it.
Yeah, what's up, please?
And there was, so this was a conditional use in 2008 with a condition that it be renewed in 10 years, which they're overdue for that. But I can see how that would happen. And so I reached out to MMA because we don't have conditional use permits anymore. And they gave us that short answer that I think I gave you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we could go two ways. We could make them come in under site plan review, or we could,
What was the reasoning that they had to come back in 10 years?
I don't really know. not being here in 2008.
Well, I'm just kind of curious, because usually they follow.
Right.
What is the use?
Planned on having any, if they change it, they've got to come back. They've got to come back on the site plan.
What was the conditional use for?
Oh, it's for the MX-207.
For which?
Okay, I remember that, and...
Well, we did gravel pits that way. We made them come back every...
And there was a thing about noise, it was the biggest thing they had.
And we don't have any complaints.
No, and I really didn't see the need then to have them come back, but...
There's a condition on the permit.
Yeah.
But we don't have conditional use permits anymore. So, I think like MMA said, I think we could make them come back, or we could...
Well...
Just let them know that if they make it, if they want to expand, they have to come back anyway.
Right.
But it's not a call I want to make without bringing it to the board.
The only other, you were talking about MX motocross place. The only comment I would make is just, it might be worth it to talk a little bit to the fire department, because I think the fire department's been, in the past at least, there were a number of calls up there for injuries and other kind of activities. And at one time they had MX was hiring their own ambulances.
They do, yep.
And I don't know whether, I'm just saying it may be that the fire department would like some additional restrictions or requirements for them to, accommodate.
They hire their own ambulance service when they have big events.
Yeah, so I don't know if the fire department's happy with them or not. I mean, that's my point. I mean, there used to be a lot of calls now. This was a few years ago when I was involved with the fire commission, but... And maybe it's all wonderful and everybody's happy and all that stuff, but I don't know. But I would think maybe if they're supposed to come back, I guess they ought to come back. I don't see any reason to waive it.
We're not waiving it. We don't have conditional use permits anymore, so we're not really waiving
but
anything.
But we still have to honor the ones that we have done in the past, don't we? Do
yeah,
we just ignore
so.
That?
That's what I'm asking you guys.
Yeah.
Really...
We may not be issuing new ones now, but this is one that exists. There is a condition on here.
Maybe just pull the presentation here and the acknowledgement that the conditional use permit process has been removed from our ordinance, and make sure that it's official that they come in, make a presentation, we acknowledge that the conditional use permit is no longer required.
Well, I don't even think they should have to come in for a presentation. I don't know if anybody else had to come back to get the conditional permit removed.
Okay.
No,
I think we should send, I think that we should let him keep the conditional use permit, but send him a letter saying he could keep that, but if he expands it all, he has to come back.
Right.
And that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
However, is the conditional use there so that the public could weigh in? Would we need to have public input? Would we need to announce that this is going to be renewed? If some sort of a public hearing or?
So say we have this, we make them come back under conditional use permit that we don't no longer have standards for. I mean, could we possibly say we're going to deny you the permit that you already have and have invested in?
No, we would just renew it and we'd remove that condition. So for the future, you would never, they wouldn't have to come back again.
Well, like what the lawyer said to Patty, there's no problem with removing the renewal condition in the 2008 permit. So we could do that.
Do we have any complaints on record from about MX?
No.
Okay.
And we just keep the knowledge in our head that if they do want to expand or do something different, they'd have to come back.
Yeah, because I noticed they're limited to so many events per year.
Yep.
I don't matter whether they're doing that or not. I mean, maybe they are. I hope they are.
If they were to start this new today, would they be doing going for like contract zoning or would it
No,
just
it's
be,
a permitted use.
It's a permitted.
Okay. I mean, with site plan review approval.
Correct.
And it used to be conditional use.
Right.
I like Ron's idea that you know, a letter I think should suffice. Just to acknowledge to them that, as Kelly mentioned, the PAD process is no longer in place. But the expectations still remain the same
right.
as how they have been operating.
But the suggestion is to come before the board, right?
Yeah.
You know, to come before the planning board for some sort of formal recognition that the conditional use process has been repealed. So the issue that I have with this is a historical document.
Yeah.
So someone years down the road is researching, permits and whatever, and is going to look at this and say, this was a conditional use permit that expired in 2018 and it was never acted upon. So I think we would rewrite this and remove the conditional
use. Letter would go into the file.
Right.
This could be the formal process.
We need some kind of formal process that
which
would.
Which could be this.
Just a meeting here tonight.
Yep.
Just a
formal
recognition. So someone researching this is going to have to go to a recording, go sift through recordings of meetings to find out if anything was acted upon. That doesn't make sense to me. We'd need some kind of formal document.
And with this permit, stating that we had this meeting.
Okay. Attach it to this.
Yeah, and that would be conditions that were in effect, and those still remain as expectations for their operation.
So essentially removing item number 8 in the conclusions, right? And the item number 6. Well, it says 7, but.
I mean, we could prepare something that we sign and record at the registry that would follow this document so that sometime
yeah.
in the future.
That'd be better.
Yeah. People,
that would be better.
It'll be attached right to this.
Yeah, I like that idea. So there's some. Auditorial.
If it's attached to this, I mean, it would be easy to find.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So can you prepare that something like that, Patty?
Yep.
That would. Yeah. Are there any that way you could record it too? You could attach it. I mean, in the York County courthouse, they can record this, attach the new letter to this, and that ends it. Are there any others that are up for renewal that you know of?
No, I haven't seen one.
Oh, okay.
Just we had the gravel pit ones, but we changed that
process. Right, we changed the ordinance there.
Yep.
It's not me.
That ain't me. That's not me. Come on. I'm on the TV. Not my thing. Gotcha. Whose is it?
That's not me.
Okay, boss.
This is just for the visual monkeys.
Okay, so are we clear with that?
So do you want to make a motion and vote on this?
Or do you just want me to prepare something and we vote on it?
Right.
Yeah.
It'll
be fine.
Good idea.
Get a draft letter and.
Okay.
We don't really have to discuss the training material from DEP. I just got that to you guys, and I finally gave it to you because I keep putting it on the agenda. Yeah. Just to go over it.
Yeah, that's just clarification. I mean, it's not clarification, but it's just reference material, really.
Yeah.
Right. And that was in, probably because of the discussion we had with that last permit that we gave.
And we've had that discussion, not just recently, but I think we've had the same discussion, most of those applications.
That's right. And I think I had, well, the issue that I had was that the drawings that we had, that were given to us, were old drawings. And even the one with the wastewater system, that was an old drawing. So really, from the size of the lot, it could, to me, we could assume that that building could have been pushed back 75 feet because you had a lot of area that you could move. You could change the angle of the building or move it to the left or to the right or whatever. And that's why I brought that up.
Yeah. And I don't want to attach that. Quiet for a change.
So we got minutes. From the February 3rd, 2021 Planning Board meeting. Did everybody get to read them?
Yep.
Yes, yes.
I'll make a motion to the Planning Board accept the minutes of the
February 3rd, 2021.
I'll second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So no new business, no anything?
Any more news on the snow removal?
So we sent the memo to the Board of Selectmen asking for a written directive on what they are looking for. I think they might have discussed it last night, I'm not sure, but we haven't heard back yet.
I know they're discussing people parking on the roads in a snowstorm, but...
Oh, you're on-street parking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We asked them to give us some guidance as to what they wanted, right?
Right. Yeah, especially enforcement.
Yeah.
I think they think that we can fine people and people can just pay it. But if we're going to fine people, we have to, a court has to fine the people.
It's got to be a process.
Right.
Right.
And that's a common misconception, I think. And if we're going to have the same problem that police have with courts right now is that they're backed up and they're not hearing something.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know that us doing it as opposed to the police is going to make any difference.
Right.
A big difference.
Right.
But I
But hopefully that condition won't be forever, you know, that the courts will free up. But it is how to collect the fine.
Just a quick question. Would it be possible to associate the fines, unpaid fines, with a municipal lien, like unpaid taxes? I'm just throwing a guide out there.
Yeah, without it, you have to have a process by someone.
Yeah, that would be something to look at too.
You'd think it ought to be like anything. It should be like a ticket or something, you know.
Right. You get your name published in the.
You get a ticket. You get a court date, and a judge says you're guilty or not guilty.
Right.
Then here's your fine. Mm-hmm. It's not just. I mean, you can choose to pay the ticket, I guess, if you. You're guilty,
yeah.
Right, if you don't want to go through the court, but still, it's a due process thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, I know Portland, they'll just tow your car.
Well, and I think that state law might say, if you park in the street,
if you park on 35, they could do that, right? Because that's state road.
Yeah, that sort of cures the problem quickly, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, once or twice of that.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you got to pay to get your car out, right? Mm-hmm. The impound.
Yep.
Whatever it is.
I mean, a few years ago, we had somebody park in the right-of-way, and we wrote a letter and said, if you don't move it, we're going to ask the state police to have it towed. And they moved it.
Okay.
I think, you know, we didn't just go tow it.
Right.
But we gave them the option to move it.
Snow removal is a little different, too, because you really need to catch the person in action and... I mean, that would be hard to. It would be just a complaint, you know. Most of the time, it would be a neighbor complaining or someone filing a complaint.
Well, the snowplow, seeing it, because if you're plowing it across the street and you're hitting them, the snowplow is hitting a packed thing instead of a snowbank.
Right.
They're going to, I think in a snowplow, people complain about that.
Right.
That's how it gets brought to us.
So they associate it to wherever that obstruction is. It's tied to that address, right?
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, if a complaint comes in about that from the snow removal people, at least we could send a letter and say, you know, this is not lawful. You know, we have an ordinance against this. We could put it in the ordinance, but not put a fine on it.
I think they were doing that last year. They
were
notifying
it?
The people, yeah.
Yeah.
What they want is the ability to fine them.
To fine, yeah.
I think. I mean, based on what
little... So we're waiting to hear back from them. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Now, curious, what would happen, or what would be the legality if the person owned property on both sides of the road and were just moving it from one portion of their property to another?
You can't move it across the road. It doesn't matter who owns the property. It's the act of moving it into and across a public road.
State law.
Yep.
Huh. Yeah, it's not... pretty standard state law.
It's not like leaves that you can blow on your neighbor's property. Okay. You have is that we finished with that?
Yeah.
Yep.
But there was one thing here about scheduled public hearing for zoning ordinance.
Well, we decided we were going to wait till next week because we don't know about
the
commercial land one. Right.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Okay.
I guess for the next agenda, we'll put on there for any ordinance change or workshop or anything that comes in.
In the letter for MX-207?
Yeah, MX-207.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.